And we appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. I count it a privilege and an honor to be here with you today. And so I want to thank all of you who went to such efforts to open up your auditorium here and to make it possible that there could be a little more room for us today. And I know it took a lot of work, and it's greatly appreciated today. And as always, we always love our time with Steve and Jason, and sometimes Marty's there with us, and we always have a good time and sharing and talking about God's Word and what it is to be a child of God. Praise the Lord. And so I want to say once again, as I always say before I preach, that what I'm going to be sharing with you today is not my ideals, not my opinions, it's not what I think, although I agree with God, but it's God, it's what He thinks. It's His word, it's His commandments, and I'm simply a voice for God today to share with you what God has already said in His word. Praise the Lord. So we're coming to you today from Texas, House of Prayer. Praise the Lord. Alvarado, Texas. All right. Well, we're going to share with you today, as I said, from God's Word. And we're going to be taking our text today from 2 Samuel. And it's the 30th chapter of 2 Samuel. And we're going to be reading the first few verses of the chapter 30 of the book of 1 Samuel. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Praise. Amen. Praise God. We always stand as we read God's word together, so if you'd like to stand with us as we read the first six verses of chapter 30 of the book of 1 Samuel. Praise the Lord. If you have your place, read along with me today. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your holy word, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here today to make your word to be alive and real. Now I pray that you'll anoint the ears to hear, the minds to understand, and the hearts to receive all that you have for us today. Help us to glean from your word the truth you'd have us to receive. And help us, Lord, that we may take heed to everything we hear from you today. Now bless us, Lord, as we share your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The title of my message today is simply Zigzag. But what I'm going to be talking about today is six ways to encourage yourself in the Lord. Praise God. Most of you may not have had your Zigzag as David did. David was going about, he'd lived with the Philistines for almost 3 years. He had been running from Saul, but he would not lift his hand up against Saul because he said Saul is the anointed of the Lord. Of course, the Word of God says, lift not up your hand against the anointed of God. So David lived there, and Achish gave him the city or town of Ziklag. He and his family was there, and his 600 soldiers that were with him. And when the Philistines made plans to invade Israel and to overthrow Israel, David and his men sought to go with them. But you see, God always has things in control. And the Philistine princes and the captains of the army said, no, David and his men are not going with us, because in the battle, he just might decide to fight for Israel. We've heard what they've said about David. Saul hath killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. So they sent David back home to Ziklag. But when he got there, as they rounded the hill, or topped the hill, they could see smoke arising from the city. And suddenly their hearts began to fail them. What had happened? While they were away doing what they thought they were supposed to be doing, suddenly the old enemy comes in the back door and sneaks in and brings destruction and havoc and great distress to David and his men. The enemy had come and take away their wives, their children, and all of their prized possessions and carried them away. David and his men began to weep and began to cry, until they couldn't weep and cry anymore. And then some of the men said, we need to stone David. Here he pulled us away to go out here and to fight, and now left our families unprotected. And they talked about stoning David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, you may be going along and doing fine. You're blessed spiritually. You're blessed physically, financially. Everything's going really good. But then, all of a sudden, the enemy sneaks in the back door. And then you have your Ziklag. And what are you going to do when you have your Ziklag? Are you going to do like David and encourage yourself in the Lord? Or are you going to say, well, why didn't God protect me? Why did this happen? And begin to question God and question your walk with God. But you see, David, he knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. The word that is used there is the Hebrew word kasak. And it means to fasten upon, to seize, to be strong, to strengthen oneself. Praise the Lord. The first thing that David wanted to do was to lay hold on God. Praise the Lord. And that's what we should do. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to draw nearer to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He could have become angry with God and say, God, what's going on here? You failed me. But no, he seized hold upon God. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about how David encouraged himself. First of all, as I just said, he laid hold upon God. The first thing that he did, he sought out the priest. And he said, help me. I need God's direction. I need God's help. And as we study this story, at first we think, well, why did this happen? But as you begin to look at the story, you begin to understand that God was in control the whole time. Why did this happen? First of all, God put it in the hearts of the captains and the princes of the Philistines to tell David to go home. You know why? Because they knew that if David got in the battle, he'd fight for Saul in his army. You know why? Because Jonathan was there, and that was one of David's closest friends. And he wouldn't allow Jonathan to perish. But Samuel had already told Saul, God has plucked the kingdom out of your hand and given it to David. But you see, God had to work to keep David from interfering. And when he came to Ziklag and it was burning with fire and his family and all of his possessions were gone, David had his own problems to deal with, which kept David from interfering in the battle that was raging between the Philistines and Israel. Why? Because God said, David, I don't want you there because Saul has to go and I'm going to make you king. Praise the Lord. You see, even in difficulties and trials, many times God is working his will, even though we don't realize it many times. I want to share a little story with you about my own life. Growing up, we lived on the farm. I started pulling cotton at 6 years old. My dad kept me out of school for 2 weeks to pull cotton when I was in the first grade. But then right after I finished pulling cotton for 2 weeks and was supposed to go to school, I came down with an intestinal virus. And for 6 long weeks, I laid in bed and I was delirious. Didn't know what was going on most of the time. And then, one morning I told my mom when she came to check on me, I said, Mom, I think I'm going to die. Well, it frightened her. And when my dad came in that afternoon from work, she told my dad what I had said to her. And, of course, it disturbed him greatly. And my mom said, as she always did, before she'd go to bed at night, she'd kneel by her bed and pray. But she said that night, for the first time in his life, my dad knelt beside my mother. And he prayed. And he said, God, if you'll heal my son, I'll serve you. And I'll start going to church with my wife and take my kids. If you'll only heal my son. The very next day, I started getting well. And within a week, I was well enough to go to school. And then when I went to school, I'd missed school for 9 weeks. And the teacher told me, says, there's no way you can pass the first grade. She sent me over to the side of the class and said, do the best you can, but you're not going to pass. I suffered not only physically, but I suffered mentally as well.
But you know, I thank God many, many times. Thank you, Lord, for letting me suffer because it brought my dad to you, Lord. And my dad was true to his promises to God. Every Sunday morning, he would get up and say, "Get ready for church. We're going to God's house." And he served the Lord the rest of his life. Praise God. He went and prayed for people and visited people and worked in the church. But I thank God that I had the privilege to suffer. Oh, at the time, I didn't know what God was doing, but he knew. Praise the Lord. And you see, God was in control of this whole situation here. God knew exactly what he was doing. David learned how to encourage himself in the Lord. One of the ways that he encouraged himself in the Lord, as I said, he sought the man of God. You see, we need to get others joining with us and helping us in our struggle. Amen. We're not a Lone Ranger. Even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Amen. God never expected us to be alone. Praise the Lord. We, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are to encourage one another. We're to help one another and support one another in the work of the Lord. And in our battles and in our struggles, we are one, as Paul says. We're one body, many members, but one body. Praise the Lord. And we can help and encourage one another. Another thing that David would do was that he told God how big he was. If you read in the Psalms, you'll see many times when David talks about this, Psalm 8, 1 and 2, "How excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens." Verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." And then he says in 9:4, "And his truth shall be my shield and my buckler." Praise the Lord. In other words, what he's saying here is that God protects me in the front, God protects me in the back. I got news for you today. God's got your back. Amen? Praise the Lord. He will be there for you. And David encouraged himself by reminding himself how great God was. 19 verses 1 and 2, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Praise the Lord. And 18 and 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, he is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies." Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Amen? Amen. God is your shield, protecting you in the front. He's your buckler, protecting you from behind. That word buckler means meganah. It's the word Hebrew word meganah, which means shield or protector. Aren't you glad you got a buckler? And it's the Lord. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. Amen. Another thing that David did was he began to praise God in the face of difficulties, in the face of trials, in the face of the enemies. We have the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." That's a sermon title of one of my other sermons. Praise the Lord. "He restoreth my soul." Oh, praise God. No one can do that but the Lord, friends. Praise God. And then David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. David knew how to praise the Lord. God inhabits the praises of his people, the scripture tells us. When you begin to praise God, God is there. As a matter of fact, Hebrews, the first chapter, says that Jesus is there with us, praising God in the sanctuary with the saints. He's here in the Spirit. When we're singing, he's singing with us. Oh, praise God. And what does Romans 8:31 say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. If God is here, what do we need to fear? Praise God. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Romans the 8th chapter. Praise God. Aren't you glad for that today? Praise the Lord. Praise does wonderful things. I remind you of the story. How many of you ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Great preacher, great evangelist. God used him in great ways. But there's one story that I remember. They were holding a big meeting. As you know, some of his meetings had almost 1 million people who attended some of their outside meetings. But some of the witches in Africa said, we've got to stop this man. But we don't have the power, they said, but we're going to send to California and to get a really powerful witch. And we're going to pay her to come down here and to stop Reinhard Bonnke from getting people saved and doing all these miracles. And so they hired this witch from California and brought her down there, and they sat right on the front row where Reinhard Bonnke was going to preach. And Reinhard Bonnke said, they sat there through the singing and through testimonies and all of those kinds of things. And nothing seemed to happen. But then he said, when Reinhard Bonnke said, when I got up to preach, he said, I simply raised my hands and began to praise God. He said, I said, glory to God. Glory to God! Glory to God! He said, all of a sudden, that powerful witch just slumped down in her chair. All of her power was broken. And 2 other witches had to help her get up out of her seat and carry her out. It's the power of praise, people. Praise the Lord. The power of praise. Thank you, Lord. I got something wrong here. My wife's telling me to fix my coat here. Praise the Lord. Okay, so praising God in the face of difficulties and trials. Praise the Lord. God will bring you out. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. God inhabits the praises of his people. Then another thing. Number 5, remembering. Praise the Lord. Remembering. You know, we have a tendency to forget things. I'm going to be reading from Peter, the first chapter, and starting with verse 12. He said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Praise the Lord. Notice that he said, even though you know them, I'm going to put you in remembrance. Praise God.
Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle. And he's talking about his body there. He says, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me that he would be crucified just like Jesus was. Moreover, I endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. David remembered. David, when he was anointed to be king, he was tending the sheep. He was a shepherd boy. And after he was anointed, a bear came against the sheep, and David slew that bear. Another time, a lion came against him, and he slew the lion. And David's got in his mind. He said, if I'm just a mortal human being, although I'm anointed, and I killed a bear, and I killed a lion, the Lord is my shepherd. Are you with me today? If I can kill a bear and a lion, then there is nothing he can't do. Praise God. He begins to remember the great things that God has done. Praise the Lord. Remembering how God has watched over him, how God has protected him from the time that he was a youth and prepared him to be king over Israel. Praise the Lord. You see, we need to remember back and remember what God has done for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I could tell you many stories today that I remember that makes me to know that God is true and God is real. Praise the Lord. Just before I was even hardly a year old, and I was a baby, and we lived in an old four-room house. And I've said many times, I said, even the poor people felt sorry for us. We had a wood stove. And my mom was at home working in the next room, and I was in the living room where the stove was. And I was crawling around on the floor, and my mom told me these stories now, because I was too young to remember. But she said, all of a sudden she heard me coughing. And she said instantly she knew what had happened. You see, my dad had a quart of kerosene in the back of the stove that he used to start the fire in the mornings. She rushed in there, and sure enough, I had that quart jar of kerosene drinking that kerosene. And she panicked. She grabbed me up, ran down the road to our closest neighbors. They went in home. She was crying and walking and at times running with me. Then she said, well, I'll go to the other neighbors. She walked almost a mile to the other neighbors and got there, and they went at home. And she took me back home. And when my dad got in that afternoon from work, they rushed me to the doctor. The doctor said, when did he drink this kerosene? She said, early this morning. And the doctor said, well, if he's not dead or sick now, he's probably not going to be. Praise the Lord. So God spared me, amen, and kept me from being sick or having any ill effects from it. Praise the Lord. I've seen that with my own children. I'll tell one more story. And remembering, my youngest son, we were living in a house that I had remodeled. It was an old house. And it had these big glass windows. It was in the kitchen. And a wood frame. And he was over there playing by the window and had his hands over the windowsill like that. And he pulled one hand back and All of a sudden, the window came down right on his fingers. And his fingers were turned up like this on the other side of the window. My wife screamed. I came in there and I grabbed a hold of that window, and the boards or the frame, wooden frame, was about to break. And I knew if it broke, the glass would fall out and cut my son. So I ran in the next room and found a big screwdriver. Came in there and dug it into the wood in the bottom of the window and pried that thing up. And finally got it up off of his fingers, and his fingers were still sticking straight up. I took his hand in my hand, and I put my hand here on this and then on this side, both sides. Pressed his fingers down flat. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And 10 or 15 minutes, he was running around like nothing had ever happened. There was no redness, there was no swelling, and no pain. Praise the Lord. Because God was there. Amen. David remembered it. Amen. Praise God. It's good for us to remember. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remembering how God has rescued us in times past. Then, also, one of the ways that we can encourage ourselves today is found in Jude, the 20th chapter. Praise the Lord. And what does that say there? In Jude, the 20th chapter, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. We can build ourselves up by praying in the Holy Ghost. When those difficult times come, just start praying in the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? There's victory. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to share one more story with you. I hope you don't mind me telling a few stories. I was preaching in Old Mexico. And this was south of Old Mexico City, Tampico, Cuernavaca, and in a place called Iguala. It was up in the mountains. And we traveled there for 2 hours from Cuernavaca to get there. On the way down there, we had two flats. And they were the best tires on the car, they said. But it had two flats. And I thought, how in the world out in this wilderness are we ever going to get a flat fixed? One of the guys took off through the woods and came back in about 20 or 30 minutes and says, I found somebody that can fix the tire. They fixed the tire. Second time we had a flat. Same thing happened again. I said, God, that's a miracle in itself. To find somebody out here in this wilderness that can fix the tire. Praise the Lord. We finally made it to Iguala, and when we got there, we knew Satan was fighting us all the way. And when we got there, the police in the town drove up in the Jeep and wasn't going to let us in the city unless we paid them a lot of money. One of the guys that was with us, he argued with him, talked with him for a long time, finally got him down to a mount. He said, we're going to go ahead and pay this amount so we can go on, because they're waiting on us at the service down there already. So they paid him the money and they jumped in their Jeep and took off. And we went on in. And we found out why they didn't want us in. Because the Catholic Church hated the Christian Church. And by the way, the church that we were going to be at was right at the bottom of the hill. And the Catholic Church was right up on the side of the hill. And they were having a big party, drinking and dancing and doing all their stuff. And they didn't want us there. But on that night, God worked in a miraculous way. And we had many people saved. I was praying for people over here to be saved on this side. And there, we had other people praying over here, because there was 4 or 5 people that went with me. And so I was sitting over here with the pastor and talking with these that have just got saved. And suddenly, the people from the other side came over to me with a serious look on their face and said, "Brother Whitehead says, we got a problem over here. Says, we need you to come over here." And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit almost just picked me up and carried me over there. I was in the Spirit like I never had experienced before in my life. It was almost as if I wasn't walking on the ground. I was being carried by the Holy Spirit. And when I got over there, they had a little boy about 4 or 5 years old. And they said to me, says, "We've been praying for this child for 20 minutes or more, and we see no sign of life in this child." And I said, in the Spirit, I said, "Let me have the child." I took the child in my arms. And I said to the child, "Young man, open your eyes." But he didn't open his eyes. I'm glad I was in the Spirit, because if I hadn't been, I'd have been discouraged. But the Holy Spirit directed me to do things which I would have never imagined to do. I was holding that little child in my arm, and I reached over and squeezed his mouth. Now, why did I do that? I don't know. I was in the Spirit. But when I squeezed his mouth, all of a sudden, it was like a demon spirit cried out of his mouth. And I've said this many times before, if I hadn't been in the Spirit, I'd have fainted right there. But I didn't, because I was in the Spirit. And I squeezed his mouth again. And when I did, and that demon spirit cried out, I said, "Come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ." And immediately that demon came out of him. And guess what? He began to squirm in my arms. He was fully alive. I turned him to the congregation, because I was holding him away from them. I turned him to the congregation. His eyes came wide open. And that whole congregation stood to their feet and praised God and glorified God for what God had done. But it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praying in the Holy Spirit, building up your most holy faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing we have. Amen? Amen. We have God's Word. And when we turn to God, when we began to read God's Word and feast upon God's Word and praying in the Spirit, then that builds our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So I want to let you know that when you have your Ziklag, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Are you with me today? Amen. Praise God. You can be an overcomer. You can be victorious, because God has given us everything we need. Amen. As Paul said, and I quoted earlier, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We cannot be defeated. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And he always says we're more than conquerors. I've shared this with people before. But you know what that says to me? He said we're more than conquerors. He didn't say we're just conquerors. He said we're more than conquerors. And what that says to me, friend, is that we not only can beat the devil, but we can beat him by 1,000,000 miles.
Praise God. Aren't you glad for Jesus today?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for God's Word?
Amen.
Praise His holy name. Isn't God good?
Amen.
All the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to close with a prayer. But if you're experiencing your zig-like, and I hope you're not, just remember. Amen? Praise God. Remember that you can encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Praise the Lord. So let's stand and let's join together in prayer as we dismiss today. And by the way, I believe in praying for people. If you need prayer and want me to pray with you or for you, I'll be glad to do so. Praise the Lord. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for all the riches of your blessings, God. We thank you, God, that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Now I pray that you would encourage and uplift those that have heard the word today. And I pray, God, that they would realize, God, that you are working all things for their good, even though they may not understand it at the moment, God. Lord, you are always in control of our lives. And nothing happens by accident, because you are our shepherd, God. Now we just pray, God, that you'd bless and encourage and strengthen everyone here. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you richly today. Do you want to say anything in closing?